This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. I invite you to join me listening to other shows here on Real Liberty Media, shows such as Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free your mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Pondergander with Vin E. To think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts the Sunday Blues Show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bock Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat, playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a Top 10 Countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork, and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, and Bear, I guess, is going to join us for the start of the show. That was like perfect timing, I guess, or not. Anyway, what a great start. And he's just laying in bed barking. I don't know what he's barking at, but something. Anyway, hey, thanks for joining me here on Real Liberty Media. Saturday's always a great day for me. Get to be, you know, kind of get ready to do the show. Of course, I had other stuff to do. We had a lot of cleanup. trimmed a lot of trees this week, so we got a lot of branches to pick up. And, I don't know, just stuff around the homestead. Hey, my daughter is competing in this CrossFit activity today. It's like all day long. She started at 7 o'clock this morning, and I guess she'll be done at 7 p.m., and I'm telling you, the home studio, it's awesome. So now Pebbles, the Bengal cat, and Bear are going to play. We'll see. But anyway, what was I saying? CrossFit activity, yeah. I was going to tell you, man, she is a beast. I'm not kidding. There's a... So we did this... we had to shore up part of our property, and we did it over a couple years, and we did it by getting some of these creosote logs from the local mill, and they were free because they were rejected for whatever reason, and we, you know, kind of cut a more square bank, and you know, dug some big old holes and dropped some of those posts in and put a bunch of those laying down horizontally behind to just keep that part of our property from eroding away or at least slow it down. That's hilarious, Grimner. Anyway, so there was this one log. It's been sitting out in the south pasture for a long time, and it kind of was in the way. And, you know, I'm too old to freaking wrestle with things anymore. It's probably 400 pounds, I'll bet. Anyway, Crystal, my daughter competing in the CrossFit activity, she had to do something out there in the garden. And she did whatever, and she came back up to the yard. And Rochelle, my wife, asked her, she goes, "Hey, well, what did you do with that log?" And she goes, "I just moved it." And Rochelle said, "What do you mean you just moved it?" And she goes, "I just picked it up and moved it." I'm telling you, she's insanely strong and in really great shape. And she's had four kids. That's our four grandkids. And she's just, she works really hard. And whenever we need some heavy work done, it's not us guys who, yeah, it is. We generally jump in and do it. But we look for Crystal when we need a little extra, you know, manpower behind whatever it is we're doing. So anyway, good luck to her. I can't wait to see how she did. She is a little bit handicapped today. I'm not going to say why, but she is. But I'm sure she'll do fine. She's awesome. We're going to grill some pork chops today. I can't wait for that. Shortly after I'm done with the show, we're going to fire up the grill and get those pork chops going. And later this week, I mean, today's pretty mild day. It's like 80 degrees, I'll bet. Maybe more, maybe less. A little bit of overcast coming from the coast. I think I've said before, I'm like, I don't know, 35 miles from the Oregon coast. And we have a little bit of cloud cover and a very slight possibility of rain today. That would be awesome. We had a little bit of mist yesterday, but mostly it was just hot and muggy. And but later this week, another heat wave heading our way, man, 102 degrees on Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday, I can't remember. It's going to be like 80s the first part of the week and just climb into the 90s and then 100s. Yuck. Not looking forward to that at all. But hopefully this time our well won't go out. It shouldn't, since it's, you know, all pretty much new. Well, new equipment anyway. And new wires and new control box. So, and if we lose power, I have the generator and I have a way to run it even without power, as long as I have that generator up and running. So we're pretty prepared, and but never prepared for 102 degrees. I know some of you guys get that regularly, but here in Oregon, it's really not very normal. And when we get it, luckily it's really short-lived, so a couple days, I'll whine and complain. Probably next Saturday you'll hear me bitch about it. But that's the way it goes. You know, you get what you get. Hey, last week's audio was freaking horrible. Not live, I guess, but the recording. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I have a suspicion that when I'm not using the microphone, I swing it down and away from me, and it's just at the right level that Bear can touch it. And this microphone has a gain control on the bottom. Hey, Bear, that's enough. Hey, come here, come here, come here. All right, you're famous. Now sit down, be quiet. Hey, quiet. Let's just see what's going on. I always wonder. Oh, nothing. The cat's got a bug, and it's driving Bear crazy. Anyway, anyway, and Bear can just get his back, like just kind of rubs on it, and it turns a dial, and I think the dial was turned all the way up to max. So I think it was just overdriving because there was so much just horrible noise on the freaking microphone. Like that. No, I'm kidding. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the gaming setup on Linux now. And the reason is because I've worked on that for so long. I mean, literally, there were times... Oh, all right, hang on. We're gonna put music on. I got to settle Bear down. I don't know what the deal is. I'll be right back. Jack Daniels, he'll be asleep in no time. I'm kidding. I wouldn't do anything like that. But, okay, so where was I? Oh, gaming on the Linux computer, man. I worked on that for so long. On and off, you know, I would try and fix it and try and play some games, and I always ran into some problem. But I'm telling you, now I think it's dialed in. I'm really happy about that. So now I'm kind of exploring all these options. Like, okay, so the solution for me, for anybody who's interested, was, of course, I guess, have Wine running and available. I had Lutris was the new little piece I found that was needed to make all these games run. So now I have Steam, Epic Games, Humble Bundle, and there's some other thing, GOG. I forget what that is. I've never gone on the site or whatever. It's another kind of game archive. But anyway, you know, there's a lot of free games out there to play, and they don't all suck. I mean, they're free, so you get what you pay for, if you know what I mean. But, God, it's sure fun to just have all those options and not have to be on Windows. And when I saw the next little piece of audio on Linux, I will be done with Windows forever. So that's my new goal. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of give an update on the this is a riot. I'm telling you, the dog and cat are running around me. It's going to be one of those shows for sure. Anyway, when I get that one little piece figured out on Linux on how to pipe audio out from whatever and into broadcast using this tool, I will be done with Windows once and for all. That'll be awesome. I will figure it out. It's just a matter of time. I mean, somebody else has figured it out, and if somebody else has figured it out, I'll figure it out. I just have to spend a little more time playing with it, and I'll get it. But I haven't. I guess I'm afraid to do certain things, which I shouldn't be, because it's pretty hard to break Linux, but sometimes you can screw it up enough that you have to really figure out what you did so you can fix it. But anyway, let's move on. There's some exciting stuff happening this week. Oh, I did want to mention, man, last week at work sucked. it sort of sucked. I mean, it was a good week in a way. I had one dental assistant all week. That's not exactly true, but for 3 days this week, I had one dental assistant. I really felt sorry for her because didn't. We did lighten the schedule a little bit, but she had to do everything. So she had to, you know, set up the room, seat the patients, assist me, clean up the room, set up the room, you know, do it all over again. And I'm telling you, by the end of the second day, I'm sure she was whipped. And by the end of the third day, I think we were both thinking, okay, we're not coming to work tomorrow. But we did. And we actually had a little bit of help on Thursday, so that was cool. And we actually did some really cool stuff this week. Had a couple surgical extractions. I did a bone graft. I placed an implant. It was a good week as far as, you know, doing dentistry, which I do still love. I think my time is limited in dentistry. Obviously it is. But I just feel like there's only a certain amount left in me. And I don't think I've ever felt that pull as much as I am now. I mean, you know, I don't know, how, you know, I don't know what your experience is in life. I don't know, you know, how you've taken care of your body or not in life. I've done okay. I haven't really taken care, exceptional care of my body, but I haven't been a slouch either. So, but man, just normal wear and tear. My neck sounds like gravel, like there's gravel in my neck. I'm not kidding. And I do have an appointment to get it checked out. I did have a fusion in 2009, so maybe it's just time to go back and revisit that. Have a little nerve signals coming that I know are radiating from whatever's going on in my neck, and I get these tingling sensations in my arm. And no, it's not a stroke, and it's not a heart attack. I've been checked out for those things. But I just, unfortunately, I just think there's... you know, there's an end coming, and it's kind of like it's kind of like I can see it coming. Whereas before, you know, kind of when you start a career, you're like, oh, I'll do this for the rest of my life, or you know, for however long. And then, you know, things start coming up. You're like, yeah, I don't know. As a matter of fact, I even told the office manager and the corporate, you know, mucks, that I was no longer going to do implants after the ones I have planned. I said I'm not going to plan anymore. And the reason for that is because I like to follow those things for like 2 years to make sure they're nice and stable and there's no other problem. So, yeah, I'm going to quit doing them, which is kind of sad because, man, you know, yeah, I don't know, you know, if you've had this experience or not, but losing a tooth does kind of suck, and losing the function of that tooth does kind of suck, and implants are so incredible. The success rate is so flipping high, and they just do really well. If they're planned really well, and the surgeries carried out really well, they really function well. Now, unfortunately, the case I did this week is not one of those that I would say is the perfect situation for an implant. You know, but it's within my skill set to push the boundary a little bit. Poor guy lost a tooth when he was a teenager, and he's like 20 now, or 18, 19, I don't know. You know, he's a young guy, and has a very front tooth, so that kind of sucks. And I think the result in the long run is going to be awesome, but just getting past the implant fusing to bone is the next big step. Let me take a drink, and we'll get on to what's next. And thank you, Beth. I agree. A lot of things kind of tugging at me. Oh, so good. Having a little sweet tea with stevia for sweetener. You know, I wanted to say, I've said this, I think, every week for I don't know how long. I love listening to stuff. Like, I listen to the radio. I listen to shows at night. When I go to bed, I put I usually put a downloaded Coast to Coast on for an hour, maybe 2 hours. I only last about 5 minutes, but it's on. It's going in by osmosis, you know. I love listening to Clyde Lewis. I love listening to certain people on the internet. I like watching some guys play games that I'm interested in. I like to kind of listen to them and watch them play and see how they play differently than I do. I don't like listening to the news. I think it's mostly crap. I think most people who join us here on Real Liberty Media agree. And by the way, I gotta say, what a smart move, Grimner, pulling Real Liberty Media as a domain. Man, that was genius. I think you'll see today, I have a comment here that, you know, we no longer have free media, really. You know, you really have to look to find it. We have state-run media. And it was kind of interesting. Somebody posted last night this little thing where this group is suing to reinstall the Constitution and a constitutional government. And man, I really kind of wish that would happen. It's not going to happen. Yeah, because it's just not. Unfortunately, it's way too late for that stuff. Nothing short of a revolution is going to, change this. But, yeah. Thanks, Beth. I should. But anyway, it was kind of interesting to listen to that little, it was like a 20-minute video where the guy kind of laid out all the articles and, you know, told how they were going to change the world, or at least the country. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of it, but I just don't see it happening. Okay, hey, I did want to tell everybody, I don't know if you guys are all stargazers, but I am. I love looking up at the night sky. I'd look up at the day sky, but you can't really see anything. But this week and every year in late July and August, the Perseid meteor shower happens. Now, I have a little tradition I'm going to talk about here in a minute, but I just wanted to give you some highlights about the Perseids, the Perseid meteor shower. It says, although this I took from Live Science, they had a nice article, because mainly my daughter and I have been not directly having a conversation, but through my wife, who's been relaying messages, we've been having this conversation about the moon destroying the viewing of the meteor shower, and that's just not the case. I kept saying, no, the moon's going to set early, and she kept saying, no, it's going to be a full moon, and it's going to, you know, light pollution kind of ruins everything, and that's kind of true, but you still, I'm telling you, there's so many meteors during the Perseid meteor shower, usually, that even with a moon in the sky, you can kind of block that light out, you know, like hold your hand up or stand behind or lay behind a tree or somehow kind of position yourself so you're not getting direct white light in your eyes. And you'll still see a ton of meteors. And I'll tell you another secret too. If you lay down on the grass or ground with a pair of binoculars, and it doesn't even have to be high powered binoculars, just regular binoculars. And I would say, don't put it on the highest power setting if they're adjustable, but just use a low power setting, lay on your back and stare up into the Milky Way and just keep looking through those binoculars. You're going to see meteors. You'll see meteors that you won't see with the naked eye, which is really crazy. But let me read some of this stuff from Live Science. It says, although rates of Perseids will be highest from the early morning hours of August 12th until the 14th, all told the meteor shower will last about 2 weeks from July 25th to August 18th, which is really 3 weeks. The Perseid meteor shower will peak on the evening of August 12th, just 4 days after the new moon, which, of course, as you all know, is dark. New moon is dark. No moon. On August 8th. So dark skies should be quite favorable for the annual display, which is one of the most dependable displays of, quote, shooting stars. That's in stark contrast to next August, that is 2022, when the meteors will coincide with a full moon. So there you go. Next year, probably not going to have a great show of the meteor showers, but this year, pretty dang good. Like, I think one day, at least here in Oregon, the moon is going to set about 10:30 p.m. on the 12th or 13th. I can't remember. Oh, actually, I put it in my notes. On the evening of August 12th, the moon will set around 10:30 p.m. local daylight time. The display should peak later that night for observers throughout the Northern Hemisphere, especially as morning twilight begins. According to the 2021 meteor calendar of the International Meteor Organization, IMO, the Perseid should peak for 12 hours or so, centered on the time when the sun's ecliptic, you don't want to know all this, basically from August 12th from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Basically, yeah, we're not going to see it at that time because it's light. So every year, I have a sleepover with my grandkids, and every year I plan it on the Perseid meteor shower peak weekend, or as close to that as I can get. And you know, it's just a good time. It's a great time to just kick it with the grandkids. We kind of make it a camp out right here on the homestead. So, you know, the afternoon, I think we're doing it Friday, which is kind of funny. It'll be Friday the 13th. But the afternoon, we'll, you know, kind of, we'll grill some delicious food on the barbecue. We will set up our sleeping sites. In the past, we've used tents. I think this year it's going to be 100 and something degrees, no tent. Probably no sleeping bag. I'm probably going to toss a blanket over me out there. And so then maybe we watch a movie or play games or entertain ourselves. Maybe probably this year get in the pool a little bit. It's just a little kiddie pool. So, but stay cool and have fun until it starts to get dark. And then, you know, right before dark, we'll have some s'mores, you know, roast some marshmallows on a little fire pit. And, you know, and then wait for it to get dark. And then once it's dark, we kind of kick it, lay back. We count airplanes, we count satellites, and we count shooting stars, meteors. And it's just a good time. And you know what I always think is awesome is when something that we have done for, like, our entire lives, our kids end up doing those things. And what's really cool is my daughter, the one competing in the CrossFit, she actually was kind of planning on going to Eastern Oregon to find a real dark place to hang out and watch the Perseid meteor shower. And these are her kids, you know, so I get to see that, you know, from generation to generation, that little tradition just continues. And that's really awesome because, you know how it is. You know, your kids are your kids and they, you know, sometimes they really enjoy the things you have planned for them. And sometimes they just think it's a stupid waste of time, especially when they're in those kind of teen years where you suck and, you know, all their friends are awesome. And it's neat to see that after they kind of get through that phase and become, you know, grown-up adults, that they go back to, you know, some of those traditions that you laid out beforehand. So, oh yeah, Buckhorn Spring, look out over the Snake River, Hell's Canyon. Oh my goodness, that would be awesome. I was actually kind of thinking about going to the Gorge this year. and up on the Pacific Crest Trail, where the Pacific Crest Trail crosses from Oregon to Washington, there's some good hikes back up in the hills, mountains there, and real dark. But nope, gonna continue the tradition and do it here. Anyway, that's pretty awesome. You know, and the grandkids, I think the oldest one is 10 or 11 now. Well, no, there's two that are teens. And I don't know if they're coming. Oh, yeah, one of them's coming. So, anyway, it's just kind of cool to see that stuff kind of continue on. And it's always such a good time. Just fun, kind of a camp out, you know, atmosphere. We're actually going to, and we usually do this every year, we break out the camp grill, which is not one that I would backpack with, by the way, but because it's gigantic and heavy, you know, it's like big, giant burners, and you need a big propane tank to run it. And we always set that up, and then make pancakes the next day. We put a griddle on the two burners and make pancakes. There's just something about pancakes cooked on a cast iron griddle over a flame that really kind of, it's very different than cooking them like indoors on a nonstick surface, blah, blah, blah. You know, you burn them once in a while, you get a little blackish on there, and you know, it's just a whole different experience waking up outside and then, you know, grilling up some breakfast. And I just think it's just a great time. All right, let's get on to the more serious stuff. Let's see if I covered all the fun stuff first. I don't know about you guys, but I got to tell you, man, I often really count my blessings here. I know that a day doesn't go by that I don't just think how frickin' fortunate I am. Not because of necessarily success in whatever way you would want to measure that, but just that I enjoy a certain amount of peace and solitude here on the homestead. And, you know, my wife and I, we used to go out hunting. We used to go out camping. I mean, we would go out regularly, spend the night out fishing or hunting or camping. And since we've kind of got this place just the way we want it, there's really no need to go anywhere. I mean, sometimes we just sit and look around and think, you know, people drive, you know, take vacations to come to sit and enjoy what we have. I mean, not exactly. It's not like you're going to a national park if you come to my place, which I think pretty much all of you guys, especially in the chat, would be welcome here anytime. And yeah, we have a little mother-in-law's house too you can stay in. It's just nice and quiet. And, you know, I enjoy simple things like having my Linux computer run games. It's kind of funny. Like, who in the hell would think that that would give you so much pleasure? Especially, I mean, I spend a certain amount of time playing video games every day, but it's not like all day. I got too much to do to spend all day playing video games, but I sure enjoy it when I can do it. And I mean, that and the animals and my family and the property, and I have fruit trees. I have this garden going this year that we actually built the deer fortress around, so, you know, the deer can't get it this year because we're taking food production a lot more seriously this year. And, God, it's awesome to go out there and see the vegetable garden unadulterated. Like, hey, everything's still here. You know, we do have some potatoes outside of the garden. And actually, the deer come by and eat the leaves off of those potato plants regularly. And still, those potato plants, man, they just keep on a-chugging. So, and we have a bunch of them this year. So that's going to be pretty awesome. It's really going to be fun. Like in years past, we would go out and pick whatever little vegetables might be available that didn't get eaten by deer. This year, man, it's going to be like, hey, you know, like any day you could just say, I'm going to go pick some vegetables out of the garden. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have whatever. We're going to have zucchini. We're going to have tomatoes. We're going to have peppers. We're going to have beets. We're going to have radishes, carrots, whatever. You know, it's just all there, not being eaten by deer. And that's just, it's really brought me a lot of joy this year. Different, I guess, because I'm anticipating not being able to go, you know, readily access food from the local markets. Although we have a lot of farms around here that'll have food, and they have, you know, their little farmers market thing. So that'll be cool. I've been holding on to this story for a long time. I'm just going to share it with you because I'm not going to get religious on this show probably ever, you know, other than saying something like I count my blessings, you know, or thank God for this or that or the other thing. But I ran into this story about human evolution months ago. And it's been in my show notes literally for months, and I've been wanting to get to it just because I think it's really interesting. And I'm going to give you a little background on this before I get into it. Okay, so my sister, which I talked about last week, the oil tycoon, who's also an environmentalist, you know, she sent me one of those National Geographic DNA test years ago. And I never did it. And, you know, she was so excited to get her results and find out that she came from, well, wherever. I don't know. I didn't pay attention. And I'll tell you why. This story actually kind of hints at why, number one, I don't 100%. Here's the deal with the National Geographic test. Their assumption, like many people in anthropology, believe that man came from, you know, the Olduvai Gorge, where they found the oldest human skeleton, right, or skull. And Louis Leakey, I believe, was the guy who found that skull. And, you know, this is the beginning of man right here. This very spot is where man originated from. So then, of course, National Geographic, with their little DNA test, you know, says that man originated from that spot. So the assumption is that that's where man originated. Well, here's a problem. And I actually ran across this story not looking for anything. It just came up in one of my news feeds, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go read that story because it sounds like BS, but maybe there's something to it. And there is something to it. And it kind of goes along with what I believe. And basically, what I believe is that we don't know. You know, we find stuff. Scientists find things, and they make certain assumptions about those things. But that is all based on what we know now. Not what we're going to know in the future. More answers coming from, well, investigations of whatever kind. Scientific or social, geological, whatever. We're going to learn more stuff. So this story is about human evolution, and it kind of talks about the problem with the current understanding of human evolution, because there's a little problem came up. So I'm just going to read this little intro. It says, Darwin himself speculated that humans came from a last common ancestor in Africa. Since then, many similar explanations have been put forward. Several years ago, it was commonly held among scientists that Homo sapiens, humans, evolved in Africa about 200,000 years ago, and gradually spread around the world in the last several tens of thousands of years. Recent findings, however, may completely shift the paradigm, like I said. We make, you know, we draw conclusions from what we know, not from what we will know. So here's a little problem. It says, for instance, a recent discovery published in Nature showed evidence of Stone Age tools from more than 2 million years ago in China. Now, actually, we could remove the names of the continents or the countries because it really doesn't matter. 2 million years ago, there weren't any boundaries. There weren't any man-made boundaries that we know of. You know, it was just Earth, terra firma, and water. That's about it. And, you know, who knows how many peoples there were, or, you know, if there were multiple points of origin of Homo sapiens. But I got to bring up this story, but I think I have it. Oh, yeah, I have it here. What's interesting is, it says there's two major approaches used to study human origins. One is the top-down approach, which relies on analysis of living apes, especially chimpanzees. The other is the bottom-up approach, which emphasizes the fossils of mostly extinct apes. But it says actually a combination of those two things may help us, you know, if you're interested, come to a more definitive conclusion of where man originated. But there's a problem if Louis Leakey's skull was 200,000 years old, and here you have tool-making Homo sapiens 10 times older than that on a different continent. That's kind of a problem. Because, well, there should be, you know, well, there should be more skulls in China that are much older than the ones found in Africa. And then what's going to happen? I mean, so then your little DNA test that you took because National Geographic wants to know, or wants you to know. And of course, they base all their findings on the fact that man, on the assumption that man originated in Africa, and now they're going to have to change that. So all those results that they sent back, oh, look at your results. You came from, you know, whatever can be traced all the way back to Africa. That's awesome, but it's probably no longer true or needs to be reevaluated. Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to tell you guys also, I really appreciate when you guys put links in the chat. I don't always respond, but I see them, man. And I try and go to as many of them as I can. And I actually try and bring them up and put them in the show. As a matter of fact, somebody just put one in. I'm sorry. I didn't write down who it was. But it was the... Actually, I could just go up here and see, right? Let's have a look here. I shouldn't do this on the air. Cowboy Tech put in, the CDC now admits that there's no real gold standard for the isolation of any virus. And actually, I was really going to talk about that today, too. I'm going to save that. Maybe we'll do a Tuesday show. Maybe not, but the bottom line is, appreciate the links in the chats And you guys are awesome in the chat, by the way. So if you're listening to this podcast anywhere other than Real Liberty Media, come to Real Liberty Media, catch the shows, check in the chat room, say hi to people. The chat room's always live. I mean, it's always live. So even if you go to the Real Liberty Media site and you're listening to a show, a podcast, the people in the chat room were live, so just fire off the chat room and get in there and get to know people. I mean, this is Real Liberty Media. I mean, nobody's telling anybody here what to say. We discuss a lot of things, and there's a lot of people with a lot of different points of view, all very respectful, I might add, and, you know, it's pretty easy to talk to people in this chat room and get some information, and there's links. So easy. Double-click on the link. It'll take you right to the article. And while I'm on that subject, when, you know, my show notes, I hope, my goal is that my show notes have not only the source of the information that I'm sharing with you, but also will go directly to the source that that source is referencing. So, for example, the human evolution story, I have the link to the human evolution story, and then I have a link to the study that's referenced in that human evolution story. So when you read my show notes on the blog page there, you can go read for yourself everything that I have discussed, except for my personal stuff. That's just in the text, and you just have to take my word for it that I'm not lying to you. Okay, I want to talk about this. This is one of my biggest frickin' pet peeves. And I bet you're not gonna, I bet you're gonna jump to a conclusion before I get there, but maybe not. You've probably heard me talk about this before, so you might just get it. So this came to my attention yesterday. It says, woman beheaded, dropped in street in broad daylight. I know what you are thinking. Here goes Doc on one of his illegal immigrant rants. But no, that is not it. Although I could easily do so since this heinous act was carried out by an illegal immigrant. But this rant will be one of my regulars about those of us who carry guns legally. Where in the hell are we when this kind of thing occurs? Now, if there were way too many of us, there would have been someone nearby who would have shot and killed the prick that did this. Where are we? I may be going off on a tangent here, but if there were a concealed carry person within sight, they would have shot and killed this puke. If anyone in the neighborhood, any of the witnesses had a gun, wouldn't they have shot and killed him? If not, why not? This is kind of bad press for that neighborhood, too. Not because a guy beheaded a woman and dumped her body there in the street, but that no one in your neighborhood did a damn thing to stop it. The story says, witnesses say they saw a man attacking a woman and then dumped her body onto the street from a car. Is this what people do now? They do nothing? They witness someone being attacked and they do nothing? Where are my fellow CCP holders, concealed carry permit? Or how about the homeowner or renter who should have some serious personal protective equipment readily available to stop this from happening? Why didn't anyone do anything? Why didn't anyone do anything? Besides, I guess, dial 911. That's it. That's what you have to protect your neighborhood from people like this. This really tells me everything I need to know about legal gun owners or gun carriers in this country, and that is that there isn't enough of us. It really disturbs me. And you see this is not an isolated case. You see this a lot. You know, communities where, you know, people are attacked. Actually, Yeah, you see this a lot. You see it in these cities. You see it in towns. I mean, you see it in the areas where concentrations of people live. You know, the funny thing is, like, I hear people talk about defending their properties. I hear people talk about, you know, having weapons that they will protect their homes with. And I guess so this event that happened in my life when I was a teenager, I was 17, I'll discuss it someday, but I decided there was a very specific time in my life when I decided I will never allow another human being to be abused in front of me. I will never allow another human being to suffer terror in front of me, if it's within my power to prevent it. There's been two times in my life where I came very close to killing somebody. The first time I was in my early 20s, we don't have to, I won't go into it too much. I had the police on the phone. My neighbor was a woman, apparently single or divorced or something. And her ex showed up, and I heard this scuffle going on, and I look out my window, and this dude is literally physically like trying to force her in his vehicle. So first I grabbed my 12 gauge, that's what I had at the time. And I called the police and I said, listen, there's a guy out here trying to force a woman physically, violently force a woman into his vehicle, and I am going to kill him if you guys don't get here soon. Like, you better come now. And of course, you know, even back then, dispatchers are all like, no, don't take this into your own hands. We'll be there. And I just stayed on the phone with them, and I could only take so much. I mean, I could literally only take so much, and I just said, if he gets her in that truck, that's it. I'm going to step out. I was in the garage at the time, could look through. I didn't even have a window. Had to look through a crack in the garage door. It was one of those roll-up garage doors. And so I was watching, and it's kind of weird how this was. So it was in a duplex, and it was a driveway off a main street, and there were two duplexes side by side, and we were the very back unit. So I was the very last unit. So when the cops came, they had to come off the street, pull in the driveway, pass the first duplex to the second one. And the guy finally, I mean, he was doing, you know, some physical harm to this woman. And the dispatcher said, the cops are almost to your driveway. And I said, yeah, it's too late. I pull the door open. Freaking cop comes rolling down the driveway, slams on his brakes, and I just stopped because I was like, shit, I don't want to get shot, but he'll obviously know it's not me. And but I was close, man, because that was it. I was done with it. And I was not going to let any further damage happen. Now, yes, this guy was physical. He was hurting somebody. I had to believe that he was going to kill her in order for me to kill him. That's the way it is. The other time wasn't that long ago. I'm not going to get into it, but I'm basically kind of ashamed and appalled that cities, people in cities live like this. And it's not, the crimes that you see every day, those gun crimes are not us. They're not concealed carry people. They're not legal gun owners. They're not even responsible gun owners. I believe that you have a right to own and carry a gun with or without a permit. I do. Nobody is going to protect you better than you protecting yourself. So, anyway, pretty damn embarrassing that that's allowed to happen. It's pretty damn embarrassing that people witnessed this attack going on. And, you know, and let me tell you something. I don't know if you've ever seen a video of somebody getting their head cut off. I have. I don't recommend watching it. It's disgusting. It's terrorizing. And it doesn't happen fast. I mean, unless you have a guillotine or one of those head chopping off axes. If you've ever, like, you know, shot a deer and cut its head off, it's basically the same. Well, no, some deer are bigger than the deer here in Oregon. Actually, we got some big deer out east, the muleys, but most of these whitetail and blacktail. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not like your head just comes off with a little slice. It's hard to get through the spinal cord. It's hard to get through those neck bones. I'm not kidding. It's not easy. It's not like it's done in a couple seconds. You know, maybe a minute if you have a really sharp, sturdy blade. But good God, man. Could you actually kind of step out and do something? I mean, number one, it's a knife. Hello. Take a gun to a knife fight. Or, I don't know, something. Do something besides dial your little 911 on your phone. Good God. And I guess all these witnesses were so horrified. Yeah, you should be horrified because you have no way to prevent that from being you. No way to prevent that from happening to you. And you should have. You know, I love it when I go out with people I know that I also know carry, that I also know they believe in, you know, the right to bear arms. Because I know nothing's going to happen, more than likely. Okay, if something happened, like one of us might die, but the rest of us are going to live. It's not going to be a mass murder or a mass shooting situation. No, I mean, it kind of will be because there'll be some exchange. That's the other thing. You know what? I think concealed carry holders and people who responsibly own firearms, they don't miss. I mean, they just don't miss. They don't have crappy guns that don't shoot straight. They actually spend time on the range making sure they're accurate. They actually spend time getting to know their weapon. So if something happens like a jam or a misfire or the slide catches, they know exactly how to free it up to get rid of that problem and get back on target. And I'm not just talking about ex-military people, ex-law enforcement people. I'm talking to, you know, some of the best sharpshooters in the world didn't do any of that stuff. They grew up hunting frickin' squirrel with a single shot because they had to pick their shot perfectly so they didn't destroy meat. You know, those people made it... It was necessary for them to be awesome shots, you know, to have really good control, not waste bullets, not waste their time in the field. I'm going to tell you just a quick story before I sign off here. My buddy Don, who I met in about 1997, and I think he passed in 2005 or 2006, that dude taught me a lot of stuff about hunting, and mostly he and I bow hunted. And, matter of fact, I can tell you, he taught me everything I knew about bow hunting elk up until the time he died. And then I've learned some stuff on my own since then, and hopefully I pass that along to my children also. But I'm going to tell you about this guy. So he dropped out of school. He was an Okie from Oklahoma. They moved because of the Dust Bowl, you know, kind of ruined their crops. You know, there was some, you know, time, you know, they were farmers and they weren't producing food, so they decided to move. But he grew up having to sustenance hunt. They hunted for their food. Don would, we'd be out, you know, in the mountains, bow hunting elk. He always had a 22, always had this single shot 22 rifle. And if we saw a grouse within 100 yards, Don would say, "Hold up, I got to shoot this grouse." And the first time I saw him do it, I was like, there's no way in hell he's hitting this grouse. And if he hits it, what are we going to do with it? Because, you know, there's no way. He shot that freaking grouse, dropped it in its tracks. And I thought, where in the heck did he hit that grouse? We go up there to pick up the grouse, and he had shot it like right at the base of the skull, shot its head right off with a 22. And I said, "Man, how in the hell did you do that?" He goes, "That's where I always shoot them because it doesn't destroy any meat." 100 yards, single shot 22, open sight. 100 yards. Could hit them every single time. We always had some grouse to eat back at camp. It's not a lot of meat, but that's my point. You have to be good. You have to be a good shot so you don't waste meat, so you don't waste bullets. You know, bullets weren't cheap, you know, to people who are making a living by growing food, selling some to their neighbors, or selling some to the local markets, depending on the weather and climate to provide you some kind of income so you can continue living. They had to be good shots, and they couldn't just go out and buy, you know, 1,000 rounds of 22 shells like you can now for, well, whatever it is now. I've had so much ammo for so long, I don't have to go buy ammo very often. And I reload what I can. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's show. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for joining me. I will see you maybe Tuesday, maybe next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks again.